So Trump's decisions and comments have many in the scientific community freaking out, frankly, and it isn't the first time a political leader has scorned accepted knowledge. With us is Christine Russell, a veteran science journalist and fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School Belfer Center. Christine, thanks for being here. We know Donald Trump has a track record of skepticism and denial when it comes to climate change, and he's not the only one. Canada and Australia have also gone through leaders who've questioned the science of man-made climate change. How much did their denials impact what was actually happening on the ground with environmental policies in those countries, in Canada and Australia?
Well, there has been a climate change denial movement around the world in several countries, and the leading denialist countries have been the U.S., Canada, Australia, and even Russia. Australia has had a long history and continues to have climate denialism very rampant. But it's flipped back and forth between the government leadership. So in 2011, there was a carbon tax imposed, and they were seen in the, you know, the vanguard of climate leadership. And then a new party, Prime Minister Abbott, came in. He campaigned to repeal the tax, and it was repealed in 2014. Now there's been another swing in 2015 with the new Prime Minister Turnbull, who actually signed the Paris Climate Agreement and has faced a lot of criticism from the climate deniers and the political conservatives.
So in those periods when there is an aversion to facts coming from the top, coming from national political leaders, how do you even have an informed public debate about the environment or about any scientific issue?
Well, one of the challenges in Australia is a lot of the media also adopted that anti-science attitude and reported it that way. So
why would
public,
they do that?
Well, the different parts of the opinion media, not all of them. I'm a science journalist, so I have fellow science journalists in Australia who were reporting the facts and how serious climate change was becoming. But parts of the media were chiming in that climate denial mode.
Let's go to another example of denialism, not about climate change. This is in South Africa in the 2000s when then President Thabo Mbeki famously refused to accept the link between HIV and AIDS. How detrimental was that to South Africa? Like, did his non-science become an obstacle to providing life-sustaining medicine?
It definitely did. That's a really sad case of anti-science leadership. He was very against the antiretrovirus drugs that were being used around the world and were also being used throughout Africa. And his health minister actively promoted that herbal treatments and South African remedies and foods were a viable alternative to treat HIV/AIDS infection.
Yeah, I mean, this whole discussion falls into the fake news silo. This is the fake science silo. What do we do about it, though? I mean, you're teaching a class right now at Harvard about many of these things. What do you tell your students, some of whom I assume are aspiring journalists, about operating in this environment?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's scratching their heads, and it is hard. There has been a tendency sometimes, as you know, in political coverage where there will be a kind of he said, she said, and they might quote a scientist, and then they will put on an opposite climate denier who's not a scientist, who doesn't know anything about the evidence, and it's really not a fair fight. But I think people are marching, as you know, around the world. There was the large Women's March, and now scientists are planning a march on Washington. Mm. People are gearing up to really, really fight back.
Veteran science journalist Christine Russell at the Harvard Kennedy School Belfer Center. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Marco.